And welcome, everybody, to Overtime. Yes, sorry for the late start. Kyle and I were brining a turkey, so you have to take a few minutes to do that, and it was touch and go for a second there, but we did it.
Yeah, I mean, we're clock's ticking.
It's the only break we had all day.
We're running out of time.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a full 24-hour brine.
No, it's not, but it's
but it was pre-brine, so we're cutting ourselves slack. Anyway, yeah. What are we talking about?
I don't know. We haven't started yet. Rob, Gila, did you make it to Overtime?
We did.
And
we
Alex,
are here.
Alex, you there? Unmuted, I hope.
I am indeed. I'm here.
Good. Okay.
Good.
Hey. And hope our listeners are there as well. And yeah. Can you confirm we're actually on YouTube?
We are indeed. We are on YouTube. We have 27 folks currently in the chat. So I did not get to say on air because waiting for now to say, I am grateful for this opportunity. I am grateful for this clever and loyal band of listeners that we have who join us here on Overtime every week. I am grateful for the opportunity to get to flex my mod muscles once a week. And a couple of notes that have come in over the break. We do have some questions about what the song was that we closed with. One of the people who would like to know
The Funboy 3, made up of members of the Specials after they broke up. And it's called The Lunatics Have Taken Over the Asylum, from their first album, I believe. And yeah, it's fitting now. It really is fitting. And
that was super.
Yeah,
I was jamming out to it. That was great.
It's a good tune.
Yeah.
So just in quick response to something that just came in. Yes, Gila is getting soppy. Gila could quite easily be boiled down for syrup at any given time, but it is true. I do appreciate this opportunity to get to interact with all of you folks around the world, actually. During this hour each week. And also someone suggested that they would pay real money to listen to Rebel converse with the British anti-fraud bot.
Yeah, well, you know what? You can do that on your own channel because I don't think I want to do that here. In fact, you know, I think we should be paid money just to hear Rebel talk to us. But that's just my personal opinion. And is that him who's calling right now, Kyle? I mean, somebody called before we even gave out the phone number.
It might as well be. Yeah, sure.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The discussion. Yeah, I'm not Rebel. That's my call name, not Rebel.
Okay, you're not Rebel from now on.
Right. That's good. I appreciated the talk about AI. I just wanted to suggest three Substack newsletters that you and your listeners might be interested in. One is called AI Snake Oil. It's www.AISnakeOil.com. It's based on a book by the same name by these two scientists. There's another one that's called Marcus on AI. That's by Gary Marcus, who's a cognitive scientist at NYU. And you could just Google Gary Marcus AI, and that should come up. And the last one is called understandingai.org. And
okay.
They're all good. All good newsletters.
All right. I hope our listeners are taking note.
Yeah. And I had a question, actually, for you and people on the chat. Whenever I come across a Substack newsletter, I always go to the profile page to learn about whatever I can about the author. And I'd like to look at their reading list to see what other Substack newsletters they read. And the other day I came across one by this woman. She's a tech person, and her reading list had 495 Substack newsletters on it. And that's the biggest reading list I've ever seen on a Substack newsletter. And I was wondering if any of you guys have ever come across a Substack newsletter that had a reading list with more than 495 Substack newsletters.
Considering that this is the conversation where I've heard the word Substack more than any other, no. I'm not overly immersed in that world. I don't know if you guys are.
I haven't explored it that much. I'm not familiar how exactly all that works. And I'm just that's all sort of a new world to me.
Well, you should definitely check it out.
It's like a pay for.
Yeah,
it's like a blog that you subscribe to. Sorry.
Well, it varies from newsletter to newsletter. Some people are very generous and they will give you a good percentage of content for totally free, and other people are more restrictive. So it's just based on the individual preference of the creator of the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, some of the stuff is a lot. Some people are very generous by nature, and they'll give you access to a large percentage of it for free. And almost everyone that I've come across will at least give you like a 1 free week trial subscription, and you can browse it free and get access to everything. And at the end of the week, they'll ask you if you want to join. So there's really no downside to it. And like I said, that's almost any topic you could think of. Obviously, it's geared toward technology, but there's a lot of other topics as well, politics, art, music, literature, stuff like that. So I just wanted to put that out there for the listeners.
Okay. Well, you know, I'd like to hear other perspectives on it, and I'd like to you know, have us experiment with it as well and learn more about this. It's just, there's so much out there. So, you know, we're not on top of everything, unfortunately.
No, I understand. But I just thought, since you're kind of on the fence, I could tell, about AI, you know, as far as you're not necessarily a proponent or a skeptic, you're kind of, you see the positives and negatives, so I just wanted to put that out there, mm-hmm. that these three, for people that want to get in, you know, different perspectives on it, I definitely think they'd find some good information there.
Yeah, AI, you know, we find AI to be really good for technical answers to things. Like, Kyle, you were looking something up the other day, just how to get a particular type of bolt or something. And
I was curious about the right types of fasteners to do bonding to a ground plate. Like when you're trying to earth electronic equipment, and I wanted to figure out if I should use aluminum lugs or copper, or what kind of fasteners to use to complete that.
And you might be able to get into a good conversation with somebody down at the hardware store, but not at 3 a.m, and not if you can't find a hardware store anymore. AI had an answer within a second. So, yeah, it's good for that kind of thing. But again, if you ask it factual information about almost anything, it's going to get some facts wrong because it's relying on how it was programmed. So, yeah, you know, it's fun to play with.
I didn't even think of using that, too. Like, I've been sort of just listening to the discussion and what people are using it for. I hadn't really, like, started using it for that kind of stuff myself, and you kind of coaxed me into just playing with it or trying some stuff like that for what I was talking about.
Well, I didn't know the answer, that's why I coaxed it.
Yes, for what I was going on about. No, I'm not thinking for you necessarily, but yes, I was going on about some stuff, and you had a great suggestion. I hadn't thought of it, and I think that that's the kind of stuff I should be thinking of. It's much like what you would say to someone, like, Google it, right, in the past. It's that useful for certain things, and integrating it to your sort of human way of problem solving, which is talking to other people or reading up on stories or posts about how people have dealt with similar things or watching YouTube videos. I think it's really accelerated getting answers to those kinds of things, sort of an expert simulated expert that you can have an ongoing discussion with is kind of intriguing to me, and would be useful for the kinds of things I'm you know, working on constantly.
Any other questions, caller?
Yeah, I just want to recommend one other thing. Since you mentioned YouTube, I'd say go on YouTube and type in Gary Marcus and Jeffrey Hinton, because there's a lot of good videos of the two of them discussing the perils and promises of AI, and I think they're two of the more responsible people on it, because they can see the pluses and minuses of it. So I definitely say check those guys out, both of them on YouTube. Gary Marcus and Jeffrey Hinton have given many interviews and lectures on the topic. And thanks again for a great show, and happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you. Thanks for calling. And our phone number, which we have not given out, is 802-321-4225. Did I get it right? 802-321-HACK. Yes. Go ahead, Rob.
And talking of videos on YouTube, we haven't mentioned that we're finished putting up the Hope videos from last conference.
You're absolutely right. We didn't mention that.
On this very channel.
We are so bad at self-promotion. Yes. We on this very channel, channel 2600, which you're on right now, if you're listening to us live on YouTube, if you wander away, you'll find the Hope section where every video from every Hope conference exists. And within the last week, we put up Hope XV, the conference we had last summer. And they're all there. And not only are they all there, they have four different languages captioned. That's one of the reasons why it took so damn long to get them up there, because YouTube made that very difficult to upload. But we did it. It's all there. And you can now see captions in, English, of course, French, German, and Spanish. And yeah, I know there are more languages, but that's all we got right now. I think you can auto-generate more. I'm not sure how accurate that would be, but this is it's an advantage, or a step forward for us.
May I just say it is incredibly pleasant to see the videos and go through them, picking things that I had meant to see during the event. It's something that for me, my availability to actually visit and do those things has been very hard, and I'm actually maybe several conferences behind on what people are actually talking about, which is sort of, for me personally, like, hard to grapple with. I feel alienated and get it, like I'm not as fortified with what hackers are discussing as I should be, because of increasing responsibility and just a lot of hardship. It's been difficult to eke out time. People are very busy, and especially when we're putting on the events and planning them, and it's just really convenient to be able to see what everyone was working so hard to capture, and that it was captured, and then to actually be able to spend some time listening to what people are talking about. It's so rewarding if you've had a difficult time kind of making a space to actually soak it up. I got to work on that personally, because I'm so in a frenzy, and I think everybody can relate, especially people volunteering and helping out, working on things, staff, friends, everybody that was involved in the event. To know that it's there, it's captured, and that we can actually see it, and then it will be out in multiple languages the way it is. I'm just thrilled. Are we still talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a phone call.
Oh, we do? Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
You're number two this week, Rebel. What, you're slipping.
you were talking about AI. I was listening to the radio about, on Off the Hook, on the show on the radio. AI has called me. They always, I always get calls from, automated, like, recordings. But I don't know if it's AI or just a recorder. I guess it's voice recognition. I guess you could call AI voice recognition, because voice recognition uses AI. AI uses voice recognition. By the way, please turn my volume up, because I can't hear it.
Are you a robot?
No.
Oh, my God. That's exactly how they respond. That's exactly how they respond when you ask them if they're a robot. They laugh.
Like a
wow. What did you do with Rebel? What's the real Rebel?
If you'd like to hear the robot that called me, would you like to please hold and I'll...
Are we going to do this again? Every time you do this, it just winds up with a long period of silence, and we wind up with nothing in the end.
Oh, the game.
No,
games,
I know
Rebel.
This works. I know this works because I tried it, so hold on.
We'll
for
give
a
you one chance. One
okay.
chance.
Hold on.
All right. While we're on hold, let me again give out the phone number, 802-321-4225. Did I say 801? 802-321-4225. I can't keep track of what I'm saying. 802-321-4225, and here is Rebel.
Hey, it's Bill. Call me back at this number, please.
Who the hell is Bill?
Okay, hold on. Let me try that again.
Wait, why would you... Why did we hear that?
Hold on.
What are you calling? I said I'd give him one chance.
How are you today?
I don't know. Who is this?
It's Bill Pickard over at National Gold and Silver.
Oh, hey, Bill. What's up, Bill?
I was just reaching back out to you. I called back in early March about some physical silver at the time. How have you been holding up since then?
Well, you know, March is a long time, Bill, and it's been rough. It's been really rough. I was hoping to hear from you sooner.
I hear you, and I'm glad we're reconnecting now. Listen, I'm calling you today because our firm just acquired 12 original treasury rolls of the solid silver Ben Franklin half dollars. You're familiar with the Ben Franklins, right?
Bill, I feel like you're not hearing my concerns. You let me down. I wanted to talk to you this summer. No, the whole summer was ruined because I didn't hear from you. I didn't know if you were alive or dead. You know how that made me feel?
And what about...
I get it, and I'm sorry if I let you down. That's right. On me, and I'm here now to make it right.
Do you
let
have
me
the...
show you why I'm calling.
Do you have the Kennedy half dollars?
Right now, we're focusing on the Ben Franklin half dollars, which are even more unique and valuable because they're still in their original mint wrappers, untouched for about 60 years. These are a rare find. Let me tell you why this is worth your time.
Would you like to hear artificial intelligence talking to...
No, that was kind of fun, actually. I was wondering how long I could string him along. What's he connecting to us? Okay, all right. Well, that was a good one. That was probably his best call.
National, how are you today?
Who's this again?
It seems like you're not... I appreciate your time, but it seems like you're not taking this call seriously. Have a nice day. Hangs
what
up.
The hell are you talking? I didn't even start talking yet. I want that
guy. Let's refocus over at National.
I want that guy's name.
Hey, Bill Pickard. How can...
How many of them are there? Are they reproducing as we speak?
Yeah, are you stacking them up or something?
I'm sorry if I caused any...
Okay, the person doing this is Rebel. You know where to find him.
It seems like this call... I appreciate your time.
All right, have a good day.
All right.
Take care.
Payment as usual.
Or need a...
All right, Rebel, that was fun. That was a bit fun. I'm going to give you a minute to say anything else that's on your mind.
Okay, let's see.
All right, that's pretty much what I expected.
Like
well, he's still there. Will you?
It seems like you're like not...
Look, robots, hang up now.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
You have a nice day.
Take care.
Bye. How many of them were there?
I don't know. You know, I just counted. I think there was three.
Wow. That was a little scary. But at least they listen when you tell them to hang up.
Yeah, that's what calls you, artificial intelligence.
Not three at the same time. That's a little much.
Well, that's what I like to do. It's, you know, use three-way and four-way and, you know, have them talk to each other. And you know.
Anything else that you want to share with us, Rebel?
Let's see. Hold on.
No more phone calls.
Let's see. One moment, ma'am. I'll look that up.
All right. Well, it's been pleasant. You guys in Skyline, you can say anything anytime, you know.
We did have someone suggest that Rebel's fork of Skynet is glitching.
Yeah, no, that seems accurate. That seems like something I could definitely see happening.
I think we should have that here, you know, that thing in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, you mean Daisy. Yeah, we should have Daisy here. Right. And I'm sure Daisy will come here at some point. I'm not sure what she'll sound like. Yes, Gila.
I will say one thing that I found fun is that part of the reason that they named the tool Daisy is because AI is right there in the name. It just took me a second. I needed to see it written out. But it lowercase D, capital A, capital I, S, Y, it's AI.
I guess. I thought of the song Daisy from 2001, but that's, you know, that's just me.
That works too.
Oh, see, and I was thinking of Daisy Daisy with the bicycle built for two.
Yeah.
But again, maybe that's just me. Hip and happening chat this not hip, but the chat is hopping this evening. I am going to make an official request to keep it pleasant, civil, and apolitical. And if it again, mod muscles. I have no problem with that. And I think that's all I had for now.
Okay, yeah. Common sense.
What is happening there isn't really what we're talking about. I have no idea what it is. I'm sure it's lovely, but we'll talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So stay mad.
Gila's the only one who's legally required to look at the chat. We don't look at the chat here. I don't know if Alex does, but... I have no idea what's going on, and that's just the norm.
I watch it. Sometimes I chime in and respond to things, mostly when Rebel's talking.
And on that note, we're going to say goodbye, Rebel.
When I tried calling Delta Airlines, they had artificial intelligence. I was trying to ask a question. It said, please enter your flight number or please enter your Delta SkyMiles or whatever. I don't have a membership number or whatever. You know, it just, and I couldn't get to a person.
And that's Rebel's way of saying goodnight. So thank you, Rebel, for calling. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We will talk to you next time. Our phone number remains 802-3214-225, 802-3214-225. Please call us if you have anything to say. And boy, the phone lines are busy tonight. Let's see who is out there. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi. I was wondering if you could help me. My long-distance carrier apparently has packed up. So I found out. I tried dialing long distance.
They've packed up? What, do you mean they've left town?
Well, they're no longer a going concern.
Okay. Do you mind telling us the name of the company?
No, I don't. What is the name of that company? Anyway?
Well, if you don't know the name of your own phone company.
It's Credo.
What?
Credo.
How do you spell that?
Like credo in unum deum. C-R-E-D-O.
Okay. Never heard of them. And apparently others didn't either. Alex, you have some information on this?
I believe they are now...
Alex?
They have been owned by MCI, I believe, for some time.
Well, MCI hasn't existed either for some time. They're owned by Verizon, I believe, right? I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But Alex, do you have something to say, or are you muted or what? Okay, Alex is muted. So, yeah, continue.
So, I was just wondering, any advice on who I should switch to now?
Well, any phone company. I mean, what are you looking for?
Long-distance service. Mm-hmm. If I don't make any long-distance calls in a particular month, I don't get charged a whole bunch of monthly fees. Would be nice.
Yeah.
And of course, the one thing I don't want is to have a package with internet so that my internet and my phone both go out at the same time.
Yeah, no, that kind of makes sense. Although, I should point out that many companies use the same wiring so that if something goes out down the road, even if you are different companies, they might still go out at the same time if they're using the same infrastructure. But it's not something I think you really have to worry about. Basically, you want to find a company that doesn't charge you if you don't use them, and a lot of them do things like that. I don't know. I haven't shopped for long distance in forever. Does anyone have any suggestions? And apparently nobody does. Okay.
Not me.
So I guess none of us have a shop for long. Have you tried, the big ones like AT&T and Verizon and all that? It's for a landline, I take it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although they took my copper away.
It's still a landline, though. You know, whatever they...
Yes, it is still a landline.
Gila, do you have something?
I do, actually. Caller, if you visit the website wirefly.com, that's W-I-R-E-F-L-Y.com, there are tools that will help you compare long-distance service providers, which are not that kind of thin on the ground these days. And yeah, there's information about long distance providers for analog, long distance providers for VoIP plans. That may be something to check out. I don't know how many standalone long distance providers really exist anymore. But if you check out wirefly.com, you'll be able to find information about long distance phone carriers.
And Alex, you have something as well?
Well, I was just so impressed by our caller's reference to the Nicene Creed, the Latin version of the Nicene Creed with the reference to Credo in Unum Deum. And I'm wondering if she can recite the entirety of it in Latin. Are you?
Wow, homework assignment from Alex here. This is what happens when you show the slightest bit of intelligence.
I'm afraid I don't remember it a long time ago. I know I've sung it umpteen times, but...
Yes.
credo in unum
not
Deum.
Not a believer. So.
Patrum omnipotentem potentum, factorum celi et terri visibilium omnium et invisibilium et in unum dominum.
Alex, it's yes hard not to see you showing off at this moment.
Filium Dei unigentium est ex patri natum ante omnia saecula, Deum Dei Deo lumen de luminum Deum verum de Deo vero.
So,
qui popper, either that or you're having another episode. I'm not exactly sure which.
That's right. Yeah. Man, no, but it's a good one. That's a, it's a good thing to, I mean, because I studied Latin for many years. So memorizing the Nicene Creed was a way for me to memorize certain grammatical forms and things as well.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you use Latin every day.
I do, actually. I mean,
actually, you do, because you're a lawyer, and they say things in Latin for some reason.
I do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're usually de minimis, though, when they do say it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did we
that was good, Alex.
Address
that was good.
Your long-distance concerns before this yes. unfortunate detour into Latin?
Ad nauseum.
That's right. We digress.
Well, I have this address to check out. I don't know until I check it out and see whether I am overwhelmed or not.
All right, well, get back to us. Let us know how you do with that information.
Okay, apparently in the chat they want to know, am I the woman, not lady, I'm not a lady, the woman who phoned in before who mentioned WBAI voting. Yes, Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman at your service. And the vote has concluded.
Okay. Well, we appreciate everything you do. Thanks for calling, and hope we were helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. I just got it, Kyle. Ad nauseum. That's Latin.
Yeah.
Wow. That was clever. I think that went over everyone's heads.
Once you get your
sip. Well, so was de minimis.
That wasn't funny, though.
Once you get your SIP server set up.
I thought it was funny.
You need the DID, a direct inbound dial. And then, oh, we have a phone call.
Wait, are you talking Latin or are you talking tech? Gila, go ahead.
So Alex's little Latin episode did sort of activate the chat. Someone asked, is this an exorcism? That sounded like Cornholio without the sugar high. And Alex sounds either demonic or angelic. Is this biblically accurate, Alex?
I hope you're happy, Alex. I hope you're proud of yourself.
One more. I just farted, or a demon was vacated my body due to Alex's exorcism.
See what happens when you bring Latin into the mix? The conversation just devolves immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Reductio ad absurdum. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But I will say, one experience I have that I'm assuming none of the rest of you do is that because I sang alto in choirs when I was younger, and we were singing something in Latin, so I got the experience of singing the same note in a lot of really like
do go on.
Sounds like it.
I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. This is why overtime is so much fun.
Last time you laughed like that, it went on for a half hour.
I know. It's Rob has taped it before. Sicut erat in principio, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper ad in saeculo. And that was, I had to learn that to
what
audition
is,
for
what
all,
is
all state choir.
What does cipio mean?
That was the droid from Star Wars.
Yeah. I think the noun was in principio, right?
Yes.
Where something is like probably in the highest or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was some sort of hymny thing that they had. It was weird for me to be singing that, but yes, sicut erat in principio, et cetera.
Listeners, send us your remix of what she just did.
Well, apparently Latin is of more interest than anything else we talk about because people are really... getting involved here. We have another phone call, Kyle. Let's see where this one takes us. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up, please. Hello.
Okay. Am I on?
You are on the air. Or
okay.
Net.
Yes. So, I'm calling from Canada, but I did a lot of work in telecom up till 20 years ago. New York City, Chicago. I was always an independent, and now I'm here. And I hung up my shingle. And I'd like to get some input of something to ask you guys.
Sure.
Don't know what you know about our market up here, but we have essentially two internet providers. They have spent the last 15 years building a monopoly, And
this would be for Bell and Rogers, I believe.
Yeah, Rogers.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And I have a, I run a VoIP business, and I also, I have a whole bunch of mostly seniors, computer service customers that I support, about 100 of them. And they are just, Bell and Rogers have teamed up together, and they're just killing everybody. There are no more contracts anymore, no guaranteed rates. They raise the rates anytime they want. I have customers here who are paying for their TV, internet, and either a home phone or a cell phone upwards of $450 a month.
Wow. My God. And that Canadian dollars, but still, that's a lot of money.
But still, it's a lot. And Bell has contracted all of their customer service out to some company in the Philippines. And while the Filipino people are very nice and very polite in general, they don't know anything. They're only reading from a screen. They have to have a certain number of check box checked before they can then click next and go to the next screen. Uh-huh. And that's all they know. And they don't know anything. There's no supervisors available. There's no managers available to resolve anything. And what they've done, and I'm looking a way to fight back at this or come some way. They've got it so that all services now, all telecom services, if you read the SLA, it says best effort available at the time. That's all it says. That means if your internet goes down, if something goes wrong, if any services go wrong, you know, they'll fix it when they feel like it.
Wow.
And there's no recourse, and there's no refund if you're out of service for 5 to 7 or 10 or even 20 days. They don't either care. Rogers has announces that all of their people are serving you from inside Canada, but they're from other parts of the world where they brought their attitudes, practices, and accents with them. And I don't care where they're from. I don't care what race they're. I don't care. I just care that when you talk to a live human being, they have some understanding of what you want and can talk to you. But I have customers that have problems with Rogers, and we go to one of their flagship stores that's at the corporate headquarters in that building, and what do they tell you when you walk in? Oh, you have to call in and talk to people in customer service. We can't do anything here.
So what are they for then? If you walk into their office,
exactly what it's a Potemkin village. You know, they've spent $1 million putting up 51-inch flat panel TVs and all this gorgeous equipment and all this gorgeous stuff, and nobody can do anything. And they'll tell you that. They'll tell you, "Oh, we don't do that here.
It's for show."
And when you call in, after you wait the obligatory 90-minute wait period. We're receiving a higher than normal volume call. Your estimated wait time is in excess of 90 minutes.
Wow.
And then you get people on the phone who they don't know anything, they don't care, and the execs at Bell and Rogers, you've heard of the CRTC, I'm guessing.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so the CRTC is staffed by ex-Rogers and Bell execs.
This is the equivalent of the FCC in Canada.
That's right. And telecom in Canada is the domain of the federal government. And the way I found that out is I was living in a building several years ago that was a small apartment building. And one Saturday morning, I heard this terrible racket, and I went out into the back of the building, and the people from Rogers had a ditch digging, cable digging machine running. And essentially, there wasn't anything you could do. Local government has no say in what they do. They can go right across your front yard and lay copper or fiber or whatever they're doing and put all this stuff down, and there's not a thing that you or the local government or anybody can do about it. And you cannot file claims. You cannot file complaints directly with the CRTC. They hire public relations company they've hired, and you submit the complaints to them. And then they may or may not review them. And yes, and people, and it's like they've literally created a monopoly. There's no recourse. There's nowhere to go. There's those two. Part of the problem is, and I'm in downtown Toronto, but part of the problem is the last mile issue. That, you know, 90% of the country's population is in Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. That's it. And so it's so expensive to put stuff out there that they either don't get it or they use us in the city to subsidize their stuff. And I understand that has to work, but Rogers and Bell are making record profits. Record profits, just like the insurance companies in the U.S. Not income, profits. And now Rogers just announced, oh, unfortunately, we're about to undergo a massive layoff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so what's going to happen when King Donald's 25% tariffs go into effect? And now all of a sudden they affect everything because everything here terminates. There's a big data center downtown. It's a completely locked down building. You can't get in the place without a card. And it is Canada's gateway to the internet. So what are they going to? What's he going to do? Is he going to tax all the internet traffic? So anyway, my big question to all of you guys, because I'm guessing you've been in telecom for a while, because I listen to your program occasionally.
Yes.
Any idea what can be done?
I got a lot of ideas.
Or maybe we're just screwed. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, there's a degree of that. But Kyle, what do you have?
Okay, so it is a complex problem. There are a lot of angles to look at it. It is spherical, right? It is a there's a lot of interests. There's overlap. You're correct. This feeling of that you're working with something that is like the house, you know, in a casino or something. It's just the quality of service is just enough to bill their captive customers, right?
Yeah.
So they can pay online or call in to bill, but that's just about as good as it needs to work as far as the business is concerned. I've thought about this a lot of ways. I think we're as hackers and people that play with these systems, like, we don't necessarily think of the rules that they want you to play by in how it actually is vulnerable or works. And I think that partially the last 30 years to me have been typified by criminalizing and going after anyone that questions the way these casinos are set up. That is in the trades with intellectual property, you could argue, or with the kinds of, let's say, controlled access stuff you might cite, like DMCA. I don't want to go off on a tangent on any of that, really, but my point is we've been sort of, I don't want to say neutered, but like we've been disarmed. And we sit here and we talk about how everything under the sun is hacking, and the actual work that needs to be done ends up being rare, while these legal machinations and muddied interests, boards, shareholders, all of it, do the ugliest and most dehumanizing things they can get away with in the marketplace. And I've thought about it, like, we can deconstruct their system. We can try to go through the political process and play nice and wait for courts and wait and wait and wait. And so we're all dead and gone. But I think what really this boils down to, and we need to get really wise to, and I'm saying, if you have any kind of organizations as independent contractors, any kind of power, any kind of other groups that are interested, specifically consumer rights groups. But what I'm saying is, straight up, the only language these entities speak, these firms only understand money. You need to go for their money. They will only cooperate when they're cut off from the gravy train of abuse of their customers. I could go on and on and on, but I'm really, like, I think we've been playing way too nice with firms that are victimizing us.
And, you know, in Canada, things operate a little differently. If the CRTC has been compromised and is controlled by the very companies you're trying to restrict, it's going to be all the harder. But one thing that strikes me about your story, it should be something that everybody in Canada is feeling to some degree. You may realize that there are only two ways of getting connected, you know, either Bell or Rogers. And, you know, right away you have that in common with almost everybody else. So if you can't get through via the CRTC or through your local government, you can at least get people, ordinary people, to realize what's going on, what the problem is. And I think maybe the best way is to reach out to media. Now, when I say that, of course, I think, what, CTV, they're owned by Bell, and City TV, they're owned by Rogers. I might have that backwards.
Yeah, they bought them all up.
But
you're right. That's the story.
I think Global is owned by somebody else, so there's a third entity. I don't think they're owned by either. And, of course, there's always CBC. And they do a great job, talking about things. You might even talk to As It Happens, which is a great program on the radio. But I think reaching out via alternative media or even mainstream media that is not owned by these companies, that's one avenue. That's one way to go. Reaching out to other people, just making sure there's mass awareness of this.
Common understanding.
Yeah.
And tell the story, retell it so that it is that anybody you talk to at Timmy's or wherever in Canada, you know, you basically are talking to someone who already knows every bit of how bad it is for people. Because the common nature of this, those common feelings that it's not working, that it is, that itself can be the basis, the foundation of the kinds of pressure that you would need if there was a moment in a political sense or other realms where you do like a mass boycott or you do other kinds of campaigns once you have people's ear.
Right. And, you know, stickers, get stickers up, get, you know, a movement, a website, all kinds of things. Just, you know, this will be a snowball effect if it is, you know, as you say, if people are really that trapped. And again, you know, the people in the Philippines, they're not the problem. They're a symptom. You know, they're victimized as well, you know, by working for pennies, doing this, what amounts to slave labor. So, you know, I would save the utter hostility to the corporations that make that happen in the first place, because they're the ones making a decision, whereas people who man those call centers almost always don't have a choice.
Yeah, it's just insulating them from answering.
Yeah. We need to hack some phone calls of the CEOs of both of these companies and publicly, because we, for example, we
shareholders
had
meetings.
Rogers had a massive outage about, I think it was about 2.5 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe three, and it literally was on a Friday morning, and it was in the end of August. It all happened at it, this had all the earmarks of ransomware. They can say whatever they want, but that's what it was. Everything went down. Everything, the phone went down, and they have the contract for the E911 center for the city of Toronto. That went down. And if you're a Bell customer, you still had dial tone, you could call other Bell customers. But as much as they could have flipped a switch and put all that stuff over there, they refused to do it. Some goofball came out and made a video appearance at about 10:30 in the morning wearing a Rogers badge that says, "Well, we're still seeking to find the root cause of the problem." Now, what does that mean? That's nothing. And I can tell you what happened, and I've told a couple of people the scenario, and they said, "Well, we can neither confirm nor deny." I said, "Here's what happened: they got hit with ransomware at 7 o'clock at 7 a.m. because I watched my phone, my internet, everything go down all at the same time, and they wouldn't allow anybody else to roam over onto the Bell network, or Bell wouldn't allow it, or nobody would allow it. So what we sat here with was nothing, and what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened." It's a Friday. All the Rogers execs are all at their cottages up in Cottage Country, it's called Muskoka. Yep. They're up there, and some poor schmoo had to drive up 5.5 hours from downtown Toronto, because, of course, nobody has any service. And they go up there, and he has to hunt down all these directors who might be on their boats. And finally, by the time they got them all either in a room together, because there's no virtual service to do, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the time they give them the order to give the ransomware people their $100 million that they're asking for, which I'm sure is going up every 30 minutes, everything magically came back up at 7 o'clock. Everything. At the same time. So this is ransomware, and they don't care. And yeah. I was actually at a business dinner with a bunch of people a few weeks ago, and somebody told me something that, while I didn't know it, didn't surprise me when I heard it, that Rogers operates their own data centers. they are now outsourcing them out because they don't want the liability. So when there's a problem, they're not going to take responsibility. They're going to blame somebody else. So with all this and and prices going up, people are getting up in arms.
Yeah.
And so what? So a spokesman from the CRTC came out and says, well, we're considering inviting the CEO from Rogers to come answer some questions we might have.
How nice.
I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. How nice. Now, they, you know, this. What's happening is they're – okay, so I worked in New York City for – a small foreign airline from 92 to 2004. So what I saw with New York was the normal operating procedure for everybody was whatever you can get away with. Whatever you can get away with.
Sounds right.
And version 2.0 of that was woe beyond to those of you who challenge us on this.
Yeah, they go after their own people if you challenge the operations, right? Like that's, you know, I'm hearing this through the lens of the recent attack vulnerabilities with the American Telephone Network. I think it was somewhat politically related, but it basically showed that there was a whole lot of backdoors and basically the antiquated telephone network that we're dealing with was hanging us all out to dry. And we're not going to get anything out of that except the consequences. The people like you're talking about, they're not, they're down there in Texas. They're down there, wherever the hell, you know,
wherever the hell they are.
They're having a good time.
They're insulated from it. Yeah, they're having a great time.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you think that the trickle of information from the government, like, oh, we found out this and oh, that's a little bit of your information there.
They consider it a cost of money. And if they get fined for it. See, I remember the days when you had a problem, you called up the Public Utilities Commission for the state you were operating in.
Yeah.
And you call them up and say, this is what's going on. And what would happen would be you would get a phone call in about 10 minutes from whoever the, you know, offending company was.
I remember when just saying you were going to go to the Public Service Commission was enough to get them to get off their asses.
Exactly. Yeah. So what would happen would be, you know, you'd call me. Well, now what's happened, they built this. And somebody who used to work for Verizon, who's now retired, who was part of the team that made it possible for Verizon to legally start selling long-distance service in the late 90s, because they were prohibited because of the Divestiture Act.
Yeah.
And I'm old enough to remember the Divestiture Act. I remember when it happened. I remember reading the book called Disconnecting Parties and how this is all supposed to going to be better service and more competition. Well, it kind of sort of was for a little while.
Yeah, and but they reformed.
They reformed in it, and they're even worse than they used to be.
Yeah, it's worse. And the thing is, if they think that, like, the government, the bureaucracy is mad about this or that businesses are upset about this... I know they don't give a shit, but they should be absolutely much more afraid of the consumers because they've been getting it through like paying through the teeth for all of this.
Oh yeah.
And now you're hanging out all of our information or whatever you have to do so that you can keep billing us after you get past your ransomware episodes. Like these are institutions that would not hire me. You know, they wouldn't let me through. They barely let me into their cell phone stores or whatever, their retail outlets.
Yeah.
Like, they treat people horribly. And I think that their lack of fear is itself foolish because you can piss people off for only so long before they're like, wow, this is really, really not right. And, like, if you think a government's mad about it, or you think, you know, an average consumer or businesses are pissed off about it, just imagine how pissed off I am, how pissed off other hackers are, how pissed off, you know, people in industry, tradespeople. It's insane. It's insane to try to reason with it anymore. It's not built for that.
So do you know who Bertie Evers was?
I'm unfamiliar. No, I don't
know. Okay, Bertie Evers started and built a company called WorldCom. WorldCom was nothing more than a sales agency. They didn't own 1 foot of networking anything. But they built up enough money that they came in and they bought MCI, bought them out, probably in the late 90s, 97, 98, bought them out. And the company I was working for was a customer of theirs. By my by my recommendation. I said, these people are good. They gave us, you know, they've given us a great contract offer. And then they downed a facility over a holiday weekend, a cargo operation, and they were completely down. I'm trying to report this thing, and they won't take the report because in their records it shows that it's the service is, it was a T1 back then. The service is never released for use. It's still in testing. So they wouldn't even take a trouble report. So this was a big, big problem. So on Tuesday, I had dealt with the Public Utilities Commission a couple of weeks prior to something else, and then this thing came up, and I went, all right. So I called the Wall Street Journal. I said, how'd you like an article? So I got interviewed, and that was in September, 1 year almost to the day before 9/11. They ran the article in January, and the woman who was the journalist from the Wall Street Journal shows up at some press conference that Ebbers is holding, and he asks if she's in the audience, and after said, I'd like to talk to you, and afterwards proceeds to tell her that everything in the article is a lie, to which she replied, Mr. Ebbers, we're the Wall Street Journal. We're the largest legal fact-checking department of any publication in the entire world. We've fact-checked this backward and forward. It's all true. Now, fast forward, 2 years later, mm-hmm. MCI had the largest bankruptcy in the history of the United States, bigger than Enron. And Bernie Ebbers ended up, he died in prison. At 62 years old, he was sentenced to something like 50 years in federal prison for everything that he did. They were lying to, they couldn't make enough profit off the operation of their business. So what they were doing is they were showing all these deals that were happening so that they could get investment bankers to continue to fund them. And what happened, it finally came out that, you know, that the only reason there was no money changing hand. There was no real, you know, nothing was really happening. It was all on paper. And when they found it out and it was fraud, he got arrested and put away and he died in prison. Wow. Now, he's dead. I went up against him. He's dead. And I'm still out here trying to kind of advocate for just the average person.
Well, I think that's something you will have success with, because the average person has to be as pissed off as you are when they hear the facts. I hope you keep in touch with us and let us know how this is going, because it's something I want to hear from other Canadians too, who can either call or write to us to see if they want to join forces or if they have additional information to share. But I do want to thank you for calling us and for sharing this information, because it really is interesting, and it matters both here in the States and in Canada and many other places as well, where monopolies take over and they make things worse. Go ahead.
I would be happy to share my contact information, but offline.
Right, of course.
If that's something we can do.
Yeah, oth@2600.com is our email address, and we'd be happy to hear from you on that. And please call us again in the future. Let us know how this is progressing, or if you have any additional stories to tell. But it is something that I think is of great interest to us and our listeners as well.
Well, thank you for giving me a bit of an audience, and thank you very much for listening to my call and your ideas. I mean, this is where it might need to start.
Yep.
So thank you very much.
And thank you for caring. Take care.
Okay. Have a good evening.
You too. All right. We have time, I think, for one more call, if it's quick. 802-321-4225. Guys over in Skype land?
Sorry. We got on a massive tangent over in the chat.
You see, this is why I don't look at the chat, because you guys, you go off on a side road somewhere. Did you hear our phone call?
Absolutely.
It was a good phone call.
But people started talking about Lily Tomlin's character, Ernestine.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm familiar with Ernestine, of course, yes.
So people were talking about the phone company, and then...
Yes, and particularly that sketch where it was basically just a phone company commercial where she's like, we don't care, we don't have to, we're the phone company. And she like pulls a cable and goes, we just lost Peoria, we don't care.
Uh-huh, but interestingly enough, I did discover one where she called General Motors and was busy having a discussion with them about, like, she called the CEO of General Motors and was talking about cars and phone service and a fascinatingly subversive character. And so, yes, thank you, everybody.
Now, okay, it brings to mind, there's another sketch that I know came out on vinyl many years ago. It's two people, everyone thinks it's Lily Tomlin, but it's not. it's a guy trying to make a phone call, and he's trying to get through to the operator to get his nickel back, because and this is one of the lines from the sketch. Operator, it's not going to come back when I hang up the phone. It hit all those other nickels. I've heard that sound all my life. I know what it means. And you would swear it was Lily Tomlin, but it's not. And I can't remember who they are. So if anyone has that information, maybe post it to the chat. And, you know, we'll find out that way. But I wish I could just remember it. But it's a very famous sketch. It's worth listening to. And I will try my best to remember in the minutes ahead. And we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey. I am so overjoyed to have heard the call before. He makes real sense, and he knows what he's talking about, and we need more people like him on the air. And by the way, let me just make a note. It would be great if you could manage to be on the air, meaning on BAI as well as here, because, you know, as much as it's a very restricted audience in spite of what they want you to believe, it would still be better to actually be irradiating to the New York metropolitan area rather than talking to the 50 persons who know what they're talking about, mostly, and are just, you know, the same audience week after week. And then they talk about Lily Tomlin and, you know, Rebel and all that. Now, I wanna just toggle on what he said concerning the divestiture. Probably a lot of the audience doesn't know that up until 40 years ago, there was one phone company in the entire continent, and it was called Mabel. So then it was broken up by the antitrust division, and there were seven or so different phone companies. One was New York Telephone, which then became NYNEX, which then became Verizon. And this is a question mostly for Alex. I don't know if I brought it up before, but if you still have a Verizon bill, there is a charge, FCC charge, every month, $6.50, the last time I checked. I may be the only person who manages to get over Verizon because I don't even look at my bill anymore. They send it pro forma, and they credit me every month. But it's a longer conversation. I want to stick to the point, which is that FCC charge doesn't go to the FCC. It's compensation for Verizon for the business that they lost by not being able to do long-distance calls. As the caller said, somehow this Enron scuzzball managed to find a loophole. But why do they keep getting this charge? And Alex, can we start a class action suit and recover billions of dollars for the people who've been paying, you know, since this has been going on?
Yeah, Alex, come on.
Sure, I'm happy to answer that.
Yourself, Alex. I know you're a lawyer, but here.
Yeah.
He's a good lawyer, too. He can do anything. He really is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, so I'm not really a class action lawyer, but I do think there's a there, especially if the answer to your first question is why are they receiving this particular sum of money that is actually ultimately coming from the taxpayer, and thus it's some kind of mandatory payment that would ultimately be going to Verizon. If that's totally invalid, then you know, there's a big problem there. Then I think there would be a massive basis for a class action suit, but I'm not entirely sure about the history of how that information and money, I'm sorry, how that money had would be going over to Verizon and any, no idea about that, but that's certainly, I'm sure there's an interesting story behind it. But with regard to the class action, if this was invalid, I mean, this is exactly the way, and I think I've said this a few times on the show before, this is exactly how companies steal millions and millions and millions, I mean, if not billions of dollars from people. You don't steal $100 million or $200 million from one or two entities or people or whatever it is because you're going to get caught. People are going to sue over it, going to make a fuss over it. But if you have 50 million customers and you can steal $5 or $6 from each one of them per month, then you're making a ton of money. And you also, as the prior calls during this show have indicated, I think really clearly, all of the outbound calls to company telephone systems, it's like impossible to get anybody on the line to complain about any kind of charge. And so to spend 90 minutes on hold dealing with various nonsense and morons to try to get a $6 back is just not worth anybody's time. So nobody deals with it. And so in that situation, a class action would certainly be ripe to address that. That's how you would do it. Somebody's those charges are
even
invalid.
If it's not your field of expertise, I would be willing to put in some serious time and effort. And, you know, if I need to send you copies of the bill, which details this charge in different fashions, because at first it was just FCC charge. Then it's it's charge mandated by the FCC, which is not true. Of course, they requested this, and it, either way, it goes to them. I did the investigation back in the 90s when I first noticed this, and I said, "What is this?" And they're still getting this from every landline that there is, and you know there is still at least a couple of millions in New York State, and probably some more elsewhere, and you know they're still making money with long distance and all kinds of other calls. So I think there is ground, and I think there is money in this, too. You may want to invest, you know, an hour or so finding out. And as I said, you know, I'm here and I will contact whatever you tell me to do, 2600.com. I'll send you an email, whatever you want to do. I've been wanting to pursue this for many years. I thought I could do it on my own. I've been looking for a lawyer. But, you know, there is not a lawyer like you at every storefront. So.
Well, that's why he's in such demand, and it's very hard to get him to take on every case. But there are people out there that I think will be helpful, and there's probably organizations we can steer you to. Isn't that right, Alex?
Yeah, there would certainly be some organizations there. But what I would say is, you know, I think you certainly wouldn't want me as your lawyer there. You would want somebody who, you know, very experienced in filing petitions for certification of a class action. They're a special breed of plaintiff's lawyers. But what I will tell you is, if you reach out to us at OTH@2600.com, I'll respond and I can put you in touch with some firms that I know specialize in this and that have brought telecom-based class actions in the past, because I've helped them on the periphery of some of these cases. So I'd probably have a good referral for you.
A lot of specialized class action lawyers, but not many are specialized in class action and telecom. And, you know, it's vital to understand the core of this question, which not everybody can grasp. I mean, you got it right away because this is your daily bread, but not everybody in the legal profession would. The other thing I wanted to say was concerning Daisy. This is my, you know, I take the opposite tackle. Whenever I get a call from a number that I do not know, I just answer and say nothing. And after a while, I get a busy signal because I'm sure you know, these mills, they're very well organized. They work in different ways, but one of the ways they work, they will spoof a number. You think they spoof a number, you know, 212-917, whatever. And what they actually do is they pay the person whose number it is to do a sort of a third-party calling. And after that call is through, I have tried to call back the numbers, but, you know, I just do the redial, and with the redial is not possible. But I never actually dial the number. But so, you know, before they hand it over to the actual scam mill, there is the real number that, and I've had evidence of this. You know, I have been switched over from one person to another. As I said, without saying anything, after a few seconds, it goes away. Because, you know, Daisy is great, but if it's a chatbot, is one thing. If it's yourself, you're wasting your own time. So this takes me about 10 seconds, say 15 per call. And ever since I started doing that, the number of calls that I get has dramatically decreased.
All right. Well, that's a method that we're going to lay out there as well and see how people do with that. We're going to pack it in for tonight, though. Thank you very much for your call. And
thank you. All the best to you.
Thanks. Have a great holiday. And all our listeners have a great holiday. Hey, I just did a little bit of Google research and discovered that sketch I was talking about. Yeah, it does exist. I didn't make it up. It was done by Mike Nichols and Elaine May. Nichols and May. Yeah, anybody ever hear of them before?
Oh, yes, they're legendary comedy team.
They're a legendary comedy team. And also I realized part of the reason you couldn't find it is because it was a dime, not a nickel.
Oh, that's right. It was a dime. You know what?
Because I found it like 10 minutes ago.
Well, we're going to play it as our out. We don't usually do outros on Overtime, but we're going to have an outro tonight. And this sketch was from, I believe, the 1960s. You know, Elaine May is still alive. She was born in 1932. So, yeah, she's. I don't know if she's doing any more comedy, but this is pretty damn funny. And it's a sketch that is very probably inspired Lily Tomlin to do Ernestine. Last words from any of you guys before we pack it in for the night? Go ahead, Rob.
Vitrum edere possum mihi non nocet.
All right, you know what? This has gotten out of hand. Yeah. You see what you did, Alex? Well, you see what you did?
Yes, dum spiro spero. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and very very grateful for everyone and the show. You know, it's great community of people, I think, that have come together, starting during that ridiculous pandemic we had a few years ago.
True. Yeah.
I just want to share one final message from the chat from a good friend of the show, Lex Pendragon, and thank you for teaching me how to say that, who said, "Even Rebel had a good call. This is one of the best Overtime episodes yet." I absolutely agree. It's been a great, great evening. Thanks to the 53 people who have hung with us in the chat, even for folks who are in other countries where it's late at night, go to bed. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. And thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we will. And now we go back to July 9th, 1965, for the telephone company sketch from Nichols and May. And we will see you next week. Good night.
Information.
Operator, will you give me the number, please, of George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, at 4411 Huguenot Walloon Drive?
That is George Kaplan.
Yes, that's right.
That is Kaplan.
Yes.
That is K as in knife, A as in aardvark, P as in pneumonia, L as in luscious, A as in aardvark. Once again, N as in Newell Post Kaplan?
I think so, yes.
Just one moment, sir. I will look that number up for you.
Thank you very much. Operator, if you could try to hurry.
I am looking the number up for you.
It's just that I'm terribly late here, and I'm hoping.
That number is listed in your directory.
Operator, there is no directory here. I swear to God.
Will you please take a pencil and write the number down?
I promise. I definitely will. Yes.
The number is Audubon Fires.
Hello, operator. Hello.
Information.
Operator.
Information.
Operator, you just collected my dime.
Information is a free service, sir.
Yes,
when you hang up your dime, we'll be returned to you.
Listen, I know it's usually a free service. See, the thing is, in this case, I heard the dime, you know, hit all those other dimes. I know it's in there, and I wouldn't bother you about a dime. The thing is, it's my last dime. I have no change, and my car has just broken down. I'm already over an hour late for an extremely important appointment, so you can see that it Hello?
Information.
Operator, please return my dime.
I cannot return your dime to you, sir, until you hang up. You hang up, your dime will be returned to you.
No, it won't, operator. Listen to me. I know that sound. I've heard it all my life. That dime is in there.
Information cannot argue with a closed mind. Why don't you try hanging up?
Because I can't take the chance. I'll lose the dime. I'll lose you. Look, miss, look. Can I go over your head? Is there someone else I can speak to? A human being?
You wish to speak to a human being?
Please.
Is this about your alleged diamond?
It's a real diamond.
Hold on just one moment, sir, and I will connect you with the information supervisor.
Oh, thank you very much. Listen, operator, hello?
Information.
Listen, there's no chance that you would say, accidentally jostle something with your elbow and cut me off completely.
We do not work with our elbows, sir.
Come on. Oh, this is terrible. Oh.
Information supervisor. Can I help you?
I sincerely hope so.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute ago, operator.
Supervisor.
What?
This is the information supervisor.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Supervisor.
Yes.
Just a minute ago, one of your girls inadvertently collected my last dime, and as I was explaining
sir,
to her, my
car...
Yes.
Bill Telephone doesn't charge a dime.
Miss, I know.
When
I,
you hang up, your dime will be returned to you.
I just went through
information
this
is completely free service.
Not tonight! Now, Miss, please try to understand what I'm saying to you. I'm speaking as one human being to another. Forget that you're an operator.
I'm a supervisor. Information supervisor.
All right, well, Supervisor, Bell Telephone has stolen my dime. That's what it comes down to. I'm simply going to have
just
to...
Just a minute.
Well, that's what happened. You stole
just
it.
Just a minute.
I trusted you.
Bell Telephone didn't steal
that
your dime.
That is exactly what they did.
But Bell Telephone doesn't need your dime. Telephone company gets millions of dimes every day. They didn't pick out your dime.
Yes, they did. They picked it out and they stole it.
If you don't like the way we do things, why don't you deal with some other company?
You know there's nowhere I can turn. You've got to do something.
I'm not going to argue with you.
What do you mean you're not going to argue with
me? You mean to sit there and tell me that you think the Bell Telephone Company has stolen your dime?
Exactly what I'm saying.
I'd just be very happy to return your dime to you.
You will?
Yes.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much.
Not at all. What is your name and address?
Miss.
Yes?
You're going to send me a whole lot of stamps, aren't you?
Yes, we are. That's right.
I knew it. Look, I've received stamps from you people in the past, and it's a wonderful surprise. I need the dime now. Look, can I go over your head? Is there someone else I can speak to?
Well, I can connect you with the managing supervisor, Miss Jones.
Please.
Who isn't going to be able to help you either. Want to give it a whirl.
Miss Jones, please. And look, please hurry.
Hold the line. Yes.
Come on.
Managing supervisor, Miss Jones, can I help you?
Oh, Miss Jones. I'm so glad I finally got a hold of you.
What is it, sir?
Miss Jones, this is my story.
Yes, I'm here. Oh.
Miss Jones, a long time ago, one of your operators inadvertently collected my last dime.
Oh, my God.
You see, Miss Jones, as I explained to her, my car has... I'm sorry. I don't usually do this.
Yes, please, you go ahead and cry. Bell Telephone understands.
Thank you.
But you've lost your dime.
No, she took it away.
Sir, if Bell Telephone has taken your dime, they will be very happy to give you a free call for that dime.
Oh, Miss Jones, if that's true, I'll never forget you as long as I live.
Well, that's true,
oh,
sir.
Oh, thank you, Miss Jones.
It's our pleasure to serve you.
Thank you.
You just give me the name of the party you're calling and the number.
Oh.
Miss Jones.
Yes, sir.
You're dealing here with a broken man. She took the dime before I ever heard the number. Look, forget it. I don't care anymore. Something has snapped in me. Listen to me, sir.
If you will give me the name of the party you're calling, you do know that.
Yes.
Then I'll look the number up for you right here.
Bless you. The name is George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, is in Newell Post.
Right. Hold on, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Hello, sir.
Yes, I have that number for you.
That number is ought to been 1954.
Oh, thank you, Miss Jones. Now tell me what to do.
Hold on to your receiver.
Hold on to the receiver. Right.
Until you hear the dial tone.
Wait for the doctor.
Then dial your number, sir. You have a free call.
Thank you, Miss Jones. I'll never forget you.
This is a recording. You have dialed a wrong exchange.